It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Tuesdays is known as $2 Tuesdays at WagesHawk.com and SportsMemo.com, where you can get the hottest handicappers, best bet, or daily package for only $2.
Hey guys, welcome in, and a happy Tuesday to you now here, the 21st of March, full on madness as we continue the college basketball season on the road to crowning a national champion. But we do have a couple of other conference, we got a couple of other tournaments going on that are involving a few other teams here, especially in the NIT here tonight, CBI today, and of course, all leading up to the Sweet 16 here on Thursday, starting on Thursday. So we're going to break down a few of these games and see if we can't find a couple of edges for you coming up. And we'll do it with three of the best and the most profitable on the hardwood here at WagerTalk.com. As Double R1L, Steve Merrill in the house. Mr. I haven't lost a game in 6 months. Trigger is here. And so is Tony Finn. He's ready to roll as well here on the hardwood here tonight. NBA games as well as college hoop games. Merrill, I know there's got to be something going on here that you circled here you like.
Yeah, strong NBA best bet tonight on Tuesday. I've been seeing the NBA well. In fact, the last 2.5 years since I joined Wager Talk, number one overall in NBA. For 2.5 years now, including number one in 2023 so far. So check out a strong NBA best bet for Tuesday night. And more importantly, get a couple advanced best bets for the NCAA tournament on Thursday and Friday. Now, I had them up for $9 Monday. I know some people missed out on that. So I did a half price Tuesday only special for those two plays. So it's basically a 2-for-1 combo. If you have to get them today on Tuesday or the price goes up. And finally, I do have a Sweet 16 contest. Just went live a couple hours ago. It's on my page right now. You can win a full year, $2,000 value of my best bets. It's free to enter. You just have to pick each of the Sweet 16 games on Thursday and Friday against the spread with the totals. Free to enter right now, Steve Merrill, WagerTalk.com.
All right, go over there and grab it, guys. As Trig, tell us exactly how many games has it been? I mean, it's what, six, five, exaggerating with 6 months. I think it's been 5 months. I don't want to give you the extra month of credit, but I believe you are just continuing a roll, man. Is there one tonight that you got locked, loaded, ready to go for people?
Yeah, I do. I have 12 wins in a row. It's been an awesome week. Obviously, it's, you know, that can happen at any time of the year. And a lot of these, like, I just got lucky that it happened for me. NCAA tournament first weekend. I mean, we've had guys on the site that have had similar runs over the course of the year, but it's always fun when it happens. So 12 in a row, going for 13 in a row tonight. So I do have a college basketball play that's up right now, 4% play. We're shooting for 13 in a row. I did start to lock in Sweet 16 games. Mm. Those are up for all access people. I'll have individual packages up for those as well. So, Joe, hopefully we keep it rolling. And a huge thank you real quick. Thanks to everyone that came out and said hi this weekend at Turning Stone in Verona, New York. We had an absolute blast, and we had a great turnout. A bunch of people that watched this show every day came by, introduced themselves, said hi. We really appreciate that. And, yeah, it was a good time.
Awesome stuff, man. No, it was great. Pictures looked like a good time going on up there, cashing a lot of tickets. And sorry, you had to deal with Brian Power for a couple of days. Tony Finn, what is going on, man? Always a pleasure to see you, whether it is college or NBA. I know you are locked in here. Did anything pique your interest for tonight?
Yes. As soon as we finish this program, and there's a little bit of a break time before we go into the NBA programming, I will have one and one only NIT event for tonight. I do have a free pick up for the NIT as well. And I have a couple strong plays from the Sweet 16. In fact, for those who are patient, and I know there's a bunch out there patient that if they followed me at all, any point in time over the last 9 years, two big ticket plays in the Sweet 16 round. So I'm excited about this weekend's, at least the early action in the big dance.
Well, we got a few things to keep us interested here until we get to the Sweet 16. So why don't we start here with one of the games tonight at Oklahoma State and Stillwater, as the Cowboys here laying 4 now against North Texas in the NIT quarterfinal, 7:00 Eastern time tip here. The thing really that sticks out, of course, I guess maybe it should, knowing North Texas, but this was at one time 124 for a total. It looks like it has done nothing but drop from the overnight. 121 now is that number. Neither of these teams known for up-tempo, to say the least. So what do we do here with this, Merrill? Laying 4 with the Cowboys, who enjoy, I believe, an 8-1 record all-time against North Texas here. What are you going to do in this game?
Did you ever play North Texas in baseball when you were at Oklahoma State? I wonder if those took place maybe when you were there, the Mean Green.
That's correct.
Yeah, this will be an interesting matchup because, you know, the question, obviously, Joe, as you know, with Oklahoma State was, you know, did they care about being in the NIT? They were the last team out. It was official. They were the first team not to make the NCAA tournament. So you always worry about motivation with those teams. They're coming off a tough loss to Texas in the Big 12 tournament. And they did squeak by Adam Trigger's Youngstown State last Wednesday, winning by just 5, line closed 5.5 in some spots. So it was kind of a lackluster win. And it was the third straight game in which they'd shot 37% or worse from the field. That's really been the problem, as you said, offensively challenged at times. But once you get that first game under your belt, and Teddy Covers and I talked about this last week on Wager Talk Today, it's that first game you worry about. Once you get a win, I don't worry about their focus anymore. And they won by 11 against Eastern Washington. Once again, the line closed 11. So their two games have landed within a half a point combined of the closing line. So we'll see how sharp this number is tonight. But I think it's a good spot. As these good quality teams progress further, they usually want to be here more. And it's also a huge step up in class for North Texas. They're a 17-point favorite against Alcorn State. They won by 16, came within a point. And then they were a 5-point favorite against Sam Houston State, beat them by 20. Not a big believer in Sam Houston State. So I'll lean towards your Cowboys here. I think the step up in class here might serve them well against a North Texas team that's probably not played up to this level in recent weeks.
Yeah, a lot of the quotes, you know, Steve, I think you're spot on there. A lot of the quotes coming out from Coach Boynton is that, you know, even he was a little concerned with what kind of effort they were going to get. But, you know, to your point, now that they won, he says it's everyone seems to have embraced that. Now we're playing for one another. It's not a national championship, but we're all playing for one another. So, you know, there is no doubt they don't want to lose to North Texas tonight, Trigg. The question is, can they win and cover by 4? How are you looking at this one?
Well, Joe, I'm going to look at the total. You already touched on it. I mean, it's really dropping. And I'll be honest with you, Joe. I'm surprised it's not in the teens. Like, I'm not a huge totals handicapper, but when I saw this matchup, and I know we've had some North Texas matchups that have had some very low totals this year, I was surprised when this wasn't like 118, 119. So I actually think there's still some value in the under in anything 120 or below. I mean, I think the 124s that were out there are long gone, but I still think there's 122, 121 and a half. Even 121, I think, still has some value. If you look at all the metrics, it all suggests a low possession, low scoring game. Adjusted defensive efficiency on KenPom, Oklahoma State is 12th nationally, North Texas 26th. Adjusted tempo on KenPom, North Texas 363rd nationally. That is dead last, or really, it's just not last. It's just the slowest pace in the league. And Oklahoma State has played a slower pace, but they're probably still without Avery Anderson, who is you know one of the ones that would be a tempo type player. So they're playing slower, and they're likely to play the game that North Texas you know wants to play here. I heard Abu Usavane might be out. I don't know if that's official. I also that source isn't fully credible, so it's just something to keep an eye on. He's sort of a key on both ends for North Texas, in my opinion. Definitely one of their better rebounders and one of their better interior defenders. Avery Anderson, I think he's definitely out. Joe, you can circle back on that, but he's been out for a while, and he's really one of their shot makers, which is the type of players you need to put the ball in the bucket against this North Texas team because they are very disciplined defensively. So, you know, on the other side of the ball, Oklahoma State, they'll contest shots as good as anyone North Texas has seen this year. And they're one of the better shot blocking teams in the country. But on the flip side, they shoot a poor percentage from the field. They're awful from the free throw line, and they're 321st in the country. And Anderson is probably 321st in the country from three, Joe. And Anderson is probably one of their better three-point shooters. So, I mean, they'll probably kill North Texas on the glass here. They will definitely kill North Texas on the glass if Usamane is out. And that's Oklahoma State. But they turn it over a lot. Many of their possessions end in nothing. So, you know, with a low possession game, where North Texas is probably stepping up in class, it's really tough to see more. It's going to be first one to 60 wins, Joe, in my opinion. And for that reason, I like the under here. So even after the move, I still think I'll be shocked if this gets to 120.
Yeah, no, it's continued to slow down and drop there. And who can blame anybody for looking at the under in this? And hell, I even looked at the under against Sam Houston State, Tony Finn. The problem was North Texas came out and hit 19 threes. So when they do that, it makes it very hard, no matter how slow they are, in order to be able to keep the game under. I don't think they're going to have that kind of success against the perimeter defense of Oklahoma State, but they certainly can shoot the three ball they showed us here. How are you approaching this game tonight?
Well, I wouldn't argue with one thing that Trigg said. However, in game tournament games like this, my experience and my fear, for the most part, is expecting what has been for the entire season. I'm more apt to expect the unexpected. So if If the Mean Green feel like they're undermanned, if they do feel underappreciated, or if they feel like they're stepping up class, which I don't think they will. I really don't think they will. There's lots of reasons them to play hard and be competitive in this. The problem with Oklahoma State is they haven't scored very many points. Three out of the last four games have been 65 or less. They've shot less than 40% from the field. Now they face a team that, as Trigg mentioned and Steve talked about, 363rd in tempo. Adjusted tempo, and there's 363 Division I teams. If Cowboys turn the ball over at 20% clip, the Mean Green, if there was going to be an edge for Oklahoma State in this kind of a game, it would be on the glass. That would be the edge that they would need to not only win this game, but cover it comfortably. And the problem is that North Texas gambles quite a bit on the offensive, attacking offensive glass. They have a very high offensive rebounding rate. And in a game with limited possessions because of North Texas, I'm much more apt to go with the dog, the plus points, especially against a team that turns the ball over like Oklahoma State. Give me the Mean Green tonight, plus the points.
All right, Mean Green plus the points. I will say it is at Gallagher Iba, and Well, spring break is over, so there's also absolutely nothing going on. It's Stillwater, Oklahoma tonight, so I would expect the place is going to be absolutely jammed here. So we'll see how that rolls tonight. Oklahoma State taking on North Texas. All right, let's move on to the other side of the bracket here in the NIT with Oregon laying 2.5, taking on Wisconsin. And this, too, has seen certainly some money come in here as this number just 24 hours ago was about 4.5, it looked like, for Oregon. But the Wisconsin money flowing in, 131.5 is the total, 9 o'clock Eastern time tip. And Oregon, much like Oklahoma State, Merrill, one of these, you know, two teams that it didn't exactly go as planned here. Neither made the tournament, but both of these teams, including Oregon, feel like they got a little something to prove on their home court tonight. Can they get it done against Wisconsin?
Yeah, you know, and Oregon's a team, Jay, you really had to worry about the letdown because they'd won 4 straight games until they lost on that Friday to UCLA in the conference tournament. And they got blown out, obviously, by 19. But you do wonder, if they beat UCLA in that game, do they get in the big dance? Obviously, they'd be in a position where they can still control their own destiny the next day in the finals. So that was a tough way to go out, you know, 4 straight wins and then lose to a team that maybe gets you in. But they didn't show any letdown. They come back last Wednesday in their first game against Irvine. They beat them by 26 points at home. It's just a 7-point favorite. Come right back and cover by 14 against Central Florida. It's just a 2-point favorite. I mean, the odds are basically saying Central Florida is the better team in that game. So, yeah, Oregon is tough to fade right now. And something to keep in mind with both games we've talked about, all the teams that we've talked about, all 4 teams have played every NIT game at home. So it's the first time that Wisconsin or North Texas has to travel, whereas Oregon, Oklahoma State stay home for the 3rd straight. I think that's a little bit of an edge. But Oregon's defense has been really good in the NIT, 30% and 30.5% allowed. The defensive matchups here, I think, favor both sides. And then on top of that, Wisconsin plays extremely slow. They're not North Texas slow, but they play slow, 342nd out of those 363 teams. We saw those NCAA tournament games go under Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Teddy and I talked about this yesterday on Wager Talk Today. Huge adjustment on Sunday. Every game moved at least 2 to 4 points lower. Some of them landed right in the middle. We've seen money coming in the under in most Sweet 16 games. So I think we're seeing that in the NIT as well, that North Texas game dropped 3 points. This game has also dropped 3 points. But I think there's still some value under 131.5 between Wisconsin and Oregon tonight.
All right. Should be a good one. But I'll tell you this here, Trigg. I was watching that Liberty-Wisconsin game, and if good old Chucky shoots the ball like he did against Liberty, it is lights out, Oregon. That was one of the more impressive come-from-behind wins from an Oregon team, from a Wisconsin team that, you know, at times we scratched our heads with this year and going, what is going on with this team? But they've put it together. They've rallied now, and here they are on the road, though, against the Pac-12 team in Oregon here. Who do you give the advantage to? It looks like the market loves Wisconsin.
Well, Joe, the market's doing what it's done so far 3 straight times in Oregon games, and it's just it's basically as soon as Oregon's 3 starters get confirmed out, which they've been out this whole tournament, the market moves against Oregon. Now, that it hasn't really been a bad thing for Oregon because I think Oregon's actually the most motivated side in this tournament. You know, they've basically had bench guys getting starting minutes. So it's Will Richardson, Jermaine Cousinard, and Enfali Dante have been out this whole tournament. So make sure you know that before you bet this game, is those 3 guys have been out all tournament. And essentially what's happened is there's 6 guys that have not been the focal point of this team all season getting to play. And so from a motivation standpoint, Oregon has looked more into this tournament than any team out there, right? I mean, they've been, Altman's clearly coached. He's been a madman on the sidelines. They've been playing a 6-man rotation and they look very, very motivated. Now they're probably in a bit of a step up in class here because I don't think Irvine and Central Florida are typically that good, but I'm going to go back to the total here as well. I agree with Steve. I still think there's value to the under. And here's the reason why. Without Richardson, without Dante and Cousinard, against Wisconsin, a team that's still like a top 25 defense in the country there, I believe they're 27th in adjusted defensive efficiency this year. Like, this Wisconsin defense is a much better defense than what Oregon has played in this tournament so far. I mean, Irvine and Central Florida have decent defensive metrics, but they do it in the Big West and the AAC respectively. That is nothing compared to the teams that Wisconsin played, and Wisconsin played a great non-conference schedule. So Oregon's going to have a tougher time to score here. That being said, Steve Merrill already referenced Oregon's played extremely hard on the defensive end, and they're going to face a Wisconsin offense that is dreadful, that has been horrible all season. You basically pointed out, Chucky having to hit shots in that game. Yeah. But if he doesn't, Joe, if he doesn't hit those shots, they're probably in trouble because they don't move the ball at all, and they're outside the top 300 in points per game. Or I'm sorry, yeah, field goal percentage. Mm-hmm. So they do shoot the three. Okay, they're terrible from the free throw line. The good thing for Wisconsin is they don't really turn it over. That's going to mean less transition points for Oregon. But man, this has the feel of another very low scoring game. Go back to last game. All four of these teams are now, in my opinion, I don't think you're going to have motivation issues on any side, because I think they want to get to that Final Four, get out to Vegas, play in the national TV. Like, this is the quarterfinal round too, Joe. Let's make that clear. They moved the NIT to play all of the second round games on the weekend this year. So right. Now these games are the quarterfinal games. Yep. The ones that are going to send, I believe they're ones that are going to send you to the last four. Yep. And just check
That's
me
in
on
Vegas.
That if I'm wrong.
Yeah. And it's in yeah, Vegas.
In yep. Vegas for yep. the first time ever in Vegas. It's historically been in New York City. So I think both teams are really going to care. It's going to be a slower game. Wisconsin is going to make things very difficult for Oregon. But at the same time, Oregon has been very, very motivated in this tournament. They've played extremely hard. I love that Khalil Ware is playing a bigger role than he has all season. So again, here I'm looking toward the under. I actually think both NIT games go under tonight. So I see another struggle this time in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, no, it's true. Wisconsin games often are there, Tony, a little bit of a struggle to get some points on the board. They've got some size. They, if they're hitting shots, it's great. But I feel like we could say exactly the same thing about Oregon here. So something's got to give tonight. And what is it here? Does Oregon hold serve, or does Wisconsin pack the bags and head to Vegas?
Well, the line in this strongly suggests, as Trigg just mentioned, that Dante and Kuz, they won't be playing. And it makes it very, very difficult for me to back Oregon, despite the fact that they've been great defensively, right? There were times they had their 15-minute moments this year defensively, too, in conference play. This is a team that some think disappointed. This is a team that some believe we're prepping for next year. If you look at there's some kids that have performed quite well for Oregon, and they have won two games pretty comfortably. But and listen, they play a team, Wisconsin, that found a way to score over what they score. Mm-hmm. They scored monster numbers, 75 points, right? 1 for 15 from the three line in that game that they won, 75-71. They beat Bradley, was a pretty good defensive team. They went by 19 and scored 81 points, right? I would say this. There's regression for Oregon in this matchup. I can't take Oregon given points in this as much as I've down at least I've downplayed the Big Ten as being a pedestrian conference this year. So, but in this case, Wisconsin would be my play if I was in this room, Joe. I just have a really tough time with Oregon and their injuries right now.
So I will say this, though. You got Wisconsin. Five of their last six losses have come either in overtime or have been decided by two or less. So this is not a team that gets blown out by any stretch of the imagination. So it'll be intriguing tonight as Oregon and Dana Altman hosting Wisconsin. And at stake, of course, is a trip to Vegas for what will be a very interesting final opportunity for these teams. To be crowned an NIT champ. Now, we will take a look ahead here, though, as Thursday and Friday, we'll talk some Sweet 16 action here as the week progresses. And the game we pulled out here will be on the 24th Friday, 6:30 Eastern time in Louisville and it's going to be number one Alabama taking on San Diego State here in the South Regional. We've got 7.5 for Alabama. That's slowly starting to creep up here. Total is 137. Talk about contrast of styles. We know we're going to get defense here, Steve. We know Alabama's going to want to run. We know San Diego State early on in the season ran a little bit, but then they realized, wait a minute, we're San Diego State. Like, where the hell are we going? Slow down. And that's where we're at here. So the question is, nobody else has really been able to slow Alabama down. Can this defense of San Diego State do it?
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, Joe, it's a great point about how they started faster this year and then slowed down a bit. And I was going to bring that up because, you know, we talked about it a lot in November and December on this show, how San Diego State's more of an offensive, more up-tempo team this year. Well, here's their current tempo rating right now. After all is said and done, after 35 games now, they're 263rd in tempo. Last year, they finished 268th. So it's basically exactly where they were last year. You can actually make a case that they're playing slower now because they did play faster at the beginning. So to get to the same tempo, they've slowed down even more in conference play. But it's been working for them, and that's what makes them so dangerous in this matchup. Fifth best defense in the country. Last year, they were second. But last year, they were like 167th, I believe, in offensive efficiency. This year, they're 70th. So defense is really good. Pace is slow, but their offense is almost twice as efficient this year as it was last year. Now, the problem is they got to play Alabama, the number one overall seed in the tournament. Bama has the third best defense. So Bama actually rates as the better defensive team here, much better offensively, 18th. But what's so interesting, as you said, is the pace and the tempo, because Bama's the fifth fastest team in the country. Now, yes, they did go into Houston back in December right after knocking off then pseudo number one North Carolina. They knocked off number one Houston right after that. But keep in mind, they were down by 14 points in that game as an 8-point dog. We'll see how this plays out. What I did find interesting, though, and Teddy Covers and I once again talked about this on Wager Talk today on Monday, is that we saw a lot of money coming in the unders in a lot of these games, right? This one definitely got hit to the under. It opened 138, was down to 135.5 yesterday, and as we were doing the show at noon Eastern live on Wager Talk TV, it was starting to creep back up, 136, 136.5, and now as of Tuesday, 137 back up there. DraftKings briefly opened like 143. That was a straggler line. All the other books in Vegas were like 138. But the other thing I pointed out was that it's interesting here that the total went down, yet the side went up. Bama opened 6.5, went as high as 8 yesterday. Now we've seen some buyback. So we've seen some over money. Now we've seen some San Diego State money. It doesn't make much sense to me because I do think the Aztecs need a slow down half court game. The question becomes, will Alabama be comfortable in that setting? Can they beat them like they did Houston if it gets slow?
So, yeah, and 2-0 so far to the under here. And, you know, we never really do give Alabama enough credit for the defense that Nate Oates brings to the table, Trig. We're always talking about how they can just drop 90 on you, but we always seem to forget it's a damn good defensive team, too, here. And I believe they are the only team left, to Steve's point, I believe they are now the only team left in the top 30 of tempo, that being Alabama in the tournament. So it's not going to get any faster than this the rest of the way. Bama is the team that holds the tempo edge, and whoever dictates it usually has some success in these spots. Who's going to be able to do that in this game?
Yeah, Joe, you're right. Alabama, definitely one of the most talented teams left in the tournament. Outstanding defense, the number one team and total rebounds in the country. I still lean toward this number being a little bit high, and it probably has something to do with the fact that Alabama came out and just destroyed Maryland last round. But the reason I feel like it's too high is they haven't exactly been a monster against the spread lately. Like, you know, go back to the Brandon Miller news. They haven't just been a cover machine, right? So they come off of a big cover over Maryland. It feels like the number is a little bit high. That being said, there are ways that Alabama trashes San Diego State and this game isn't close, but San Diego State, and I'll go back to the beginning of the season, I said that this team might end up in a Final Four. They do everything well enough, right? Like they're not gonna probably be number one in any category, but they are a very good, very well coached team across the board. And that's where Alabama gets in trouble sometimes. Alabama, for as good as they are offensively, does not always take great shots. And if they are not absolutely pummeling teams on the offensive glass, which they won't do to San Diego State, because San Diego State does not give up a ton of second chance points, then teams can hang around with Bama. Now, on the other side, San Diego State's going to have to score at least a little bit to stay in this game, because Alabama can overwhelm with a big run if it's just a scoring drought. But San Diego State's shown the ability to do that. You go back to February 1st, San Diego State has lost one game. It was at Boise State, and it was a horrible spot for them if you go back and look at the schedule and how they came into that spot. It's just, for me here, I want to take the points. I do think it's interesting this week, Joe, that Nick Saban kind of maybe slighted Nate Oates a little bit in how the whole thing was handled.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back to like when that was first announced and then Brandon Miller played and they got all that media coverage, Alabama dropped what, like maybe three or four against the spread before they finally covered a game. I wonder how much, if that gets brought up this week and starts to make its rounds again, if it takes away from some of the focus of this game and maybe adds a little bit more value into those 7.5 points. I lean San Diego State. I think Dutcher is absolutely capable of putting together a game plan that keeps this game close, that even potentially wins this game, but I still have a lot of respect for that Alabama team and what they have on the floor, and that makes this one a little bit difficult. So I lean toward the points, but I haven't got there yet.
All right, so it's intriguing here, Finn, because we've talked about it a lot on the show heading into the tournament, right? Like, betting the Mountain West heading into the tournament, it was laughable. Like, no, they suck in the tournament. But now that we're here in this Sweet 16, so the question is, all right, so how is the Mountain West done in the Sweet 16? The answer is about as well as they've done in the tournament. 0-6, I believe, straight up, 1-5 against the number. From no Mountain West team has ever made it to the Elite Eight. Could San Diego State be the first here, Tony Finn?
Let's put it this way. I guess the best way to put it would be yes. Yes, they can. In fact, I think this would be, this is a good Alabama team. I think most of us would probably agree that top to bottom, maybe on paper, they're the best team left in the tournament. And if we look at this tournament, the number of unders to overs, there's been one common denominator. My common denominator in this tournament, especially when you get to the round of 16 on and on and moving forward, is that you need a good experienced backcourt and one NBA player, a guy that can create his own shots, possibly carry a team. And I can go back in history and give you examples where that is the case. Now, there's always aberration. However, Joe, this is the kind of team that Alabama doesn't want to face. I don't think it's the last team that Alabama wants to face. Why? Because if there's been a common denominator in this tournament, let's look at this tournament. It's that if you have an experienced team that plays elite defense, grinded out physical defense, they've been your winners, ATS or straight up. And that's San Diego State. This team, if you remember this team 2 or 3 years ago, what they look like today compared to then is they look like they haven't been playing basketball. It looks like they've been hanging out in the weight room. Alabama's going to get shoved around. The length and the talent of this defense, and I use talent defense with San Diego State because they're going to have times when, you know, they fall asleep offensively. They have to eliminate Alabama going on one of these 10-0, 12-0 runs if they're going to win this game. And I think you're going to see timeouts in this game. But this is a pretty athletic team. They play elite defense, and they're going to bother. Their length is exactly what the talent, the real talent, the freshman talent on this Alabama team doesn't want to see. And I think they're going to struggle. It's a low-scoring game. If it's a low-scoring game, then San Diego State's right in it. I mean, they allow 63.4 points a game. Bama's 29-1 when scoring 70, 71 or more, I believe is the number. 2-4 when they don't. Is Bama going to score 71 points against this team? I don't think so. Give me the Mountain West to reach the Elite Eight.
Let's wow. Calling for it here. He's calling for the outright upset, man, for San Diego State being the first Mountain West team to make it to the Elite Eight, as if people's brackets ain't blown up already enough. Way to go, Finn. All right, guys. So there we go. We've got, of course, three games here we broke down for you. We'll have much more as the week progresses here. But there are a few games between now and then, and we're looking for a best bet here from these guys. And I asked them yesterday, before we get to it, I'll just go around the horn quickly, because I asked all three of the panelists yesterday, too. Is there any one of these teams, maybe, Merrill, you are looking at, or maybe we'll look at in the futures market here, whether it be to win the whole thing, maybe just win the division? How do you approach the futures market here, Merrill? Or is anybody standing out to you that you don't have a ticket on already?
Yeah, I mean, as is often the case, you're normally better off just money line parlaying game after game, you know, unless you like a real long shot. And the nice thing about that is you can always hedge out or just stop playing it. Now, if you take a big enough long shot, you can hedge out. One thing I think is interesting, other than just the win outright, because Bama's 3-1, Houston 4-1, it's a little less than when they started. Is to look at the regions right now. UCLA 2-1, Connecticut 2-1, Gonzaga. So Arkansas is the big long shot there in the West. Tennessee's basically even money now in the East. That's the one that got blown up, obviously, with Purdue going out. Michigan State's now 3-1, the second favorite there. Mm-hmm. Bama's actually minus money in the South. Creighton's 2-1, San Diego State, Princeton. And then Midwest, you've got Houston basically at even money, and then you got Texas at 2-1. So I do think, once again, going back to what Tony said, if the Mountain West can pull that upset, 5-1 or six, almost 6-1 with San Diego State's a pretty interesting price. But there again, you're getting almost +280 in the Bama game alone. So I still think you're probably better off just money line parlaying any of these teams you like and letting it roll over game after game.
Are you still live there, Trigg, with any did you make any futures bets prior here? How are they looking?
Yeah, no, I'm still alive. I've given all of them out on Wager Talk programming in some form or fashion. Most of which I gave out before the season. I think we gave them out on the Hustle, probably on this show at some point. So what I still have is Texas 30-1, ooh, Tennessee 30-1, Houston 12-1, and then I have UConn from February 15th at 30-1. I think those are the ones we still have alive. So I mean I didn't add anything, like, I'm just going to ride those out. I still think Houston's the best team in the country, but at 4-1,
yeah,
I don't know. It's harder to say. I mean, I love the fact that I've got them at 12-1. I still do think they're the best team in the country, but would I come back and take them now at 4-1? I don't know. Like I said, I didn't add anything futures wise for the Sweet 16. The one I wish I had that I was really close to firing earlier this year and didn't was Creighton, obviously, because, you know, their path has opened up to the Elite Eight. So if you did, and I know a lot of people that bet that at, like, really, really good numbers, so congrats if you did. But no, I'm not going to change anything. I'll root for those. And, you know, I still like all of those, you know, for what it's worth. So, you know, that's all I've got for the futures.
It's the Eastern region that just has absolutely blown up, where, right? I mean, Finn, it's the Eastern region where, I mean, Michigan State was 100-1 before the season here. Now, all of a sudden, them, Kansas State, FAU, and Tennessee. I don't know about you. Yeah. I don't trust Coach Barnes in Tennessee as far as I can throw him at that price. But it's intriguing because I don't think anybody had those teams to begin with here. All of them were supposed to have mediocre seasons here. So what are you thinking here, Finn? Any of your futures still alive, or are you looking at anyone in particular?
I have one that's alive, and that's because I just played it.
Oh, there you go.
About this morning. and you really outlined, my brackets, dirt. I mean, dirt, it's old. It's so done. It's not even funny. Mm-hmm. Although I'm still, my bracket's done. I'm number one in the Finn family pool this year so far. I have no one left really in the final four. But that said, look at the East. You outlined it perfectly, Joe. I mean, perfectly. Now, Tennessee, you got to throw the Barnes stuff to the side. At some point in time, a coach with that kind of experience and the way he plays, you know, they fit the description of the team that's been pretty successful. Have some older leadership, and they play elite defense. They can. They're long. They're lean. They're tough. I mean, Duke was a really playing their best basketball. Now, there's caveats all over the place, right? Well, look at their schedule. Oh, at the end of the season, who they beat and beat anybody. They're in the AAC, ACC, et cetera, et cetera. They're Duke. And they do have some young kids that are pretty talented. They have a big kid. Tennessee just abused them. Let's be honest. 65-52. I don't think the score reflected how I thought Tennessee played. And moving forward, who's left in this, Joe? You mentioned who's left.
Yeah.
What's stopping Tennessee from getting to the Final Four? What's stopping Tennessee from winning this thing despite Barnes's record? I got him at a plus 1,100 this morning. Here's the deal. Are they going to be that big? Is there any point this time moving forward where Tennessee is such a big dog, as Merrill and Trigg so eloquently spoke to, and that is play that money line if you like them going forward, right? I don't know. I'll have to do the math on that, looking at the matchups moving forward. But right now, I took the 1,100. I took the plus 1,100 on Tennessee to win the whole thing because of how you described the East. It's blown up.
Yeah. Well, you got to be in it to win it, right? So you got to get – once right. you get past the Eve, you win the East. Hey, you know what I mean? You're anything can happen there, but it's going to be intriguing for sure. And even Merrill, I mean, at Houston at 4-1 right now, are they ever going to be a dog that makes it worth rolling over? Or should you just grab the 4-1, the 4-1 price now here? Because I can't, I mean, who the hell are they going to be a dog to, really, if they go right through it?
Yeah, and the other thing about Houston, Joe, I mean, first of all, Trigger 12-1. I was like, when did you get that bet? So those are nice odds, obviously. you do worry about the injuries, though, guys.
It's the alternate line.
I mean, Sasser and Stroud, these guys are a step away from being out still. So that's another reason I don't think I'd want to have them locked up, because then you'd have to hedge out. Whereas at least if you do
good point
money line rollover, if the guys go down, they still manage to win the game, you just call off the dogs. So I like Houston. They're the best team in the country. I agree with Adam. That's who I have winning it. But the injuries and whatnot are a concern, and that Northern Kentucky game was a concern as well.
All right. Well, listen, we got a couple of days still before the Sweet 16 begins, and that's another intriguing spot here. Some coaches are better than others with extended rest here heading into the Sweet 16. So we'll see how this all works out. In the meantime, a couple of games here tonight and tomorrow. Merrill, is there a game that you circled for us here you like a little more than the rest for it?
Yeah, we're going to look at a free college basketball play, and this one goes tonight on Tuesday in the CBI semifinals. Don't forget about the CBI. It's on ESPN2 for your viewing pleasure at 7 Eastern tonight. We're going to look at a free play in just a moment. Quick reminder, though, number one, the last couple of years combined in the NBA at Wager Talk. We're talking college hoops, but the NBA is extremely profitable as well. I do have a strong best bet in the NBA tonight for Tuesday, and also a 2-for-1 half-price special for two advanced NCAA Sweet 16 best bets that go this Thursday. Buy one, you get the other free, basically, because I'm slashed them both in half for Tuesday only. So you got to go there right now. And don't forget to enter my free Sweet 16 contest while you're there. Pick enough games right, you're going up to a full year, $2,000 value of my best bets for free. It's free to enter Sweet 16 contest on my page, Steve Merrill, wagertalk.com. Free play in the CBI semifinals tonight, 7 Eastern. Take a look at Southern Utah minus the 4 points. One of my favorite handicapping angles in all of sports, especially college hoops, is when two teams play a same style. And it really comes into play in college basketball, where matchups and styles are the most important thing to look at. Both Eastern Kentucky and Southern Utah play extremely fast, but Southern Utah does it better. They're the better defensive team. They hold a substantial offensive edge in this game. And in the game where two teams are playing fast, I want to have that team that has a substantial offensive edge, shooting 47% of the season. Eastern Kentucky shooting below 44%. Big difference from the free throw line as well. Eastern Kentucky struggled this year, just 63.5% on the road. Meanwhile, Southern Utah, 73% overall this year from the charity stripe. I think they pull away in this game. Fast tempo makes it easier to cover the short number. Take a look at Southern Utah minus 4 in the CBI at 7 Eastern tonight on ESPN2.
Yeah, Eastern Kentucky, was it back-to-back overtime games too? Like, good Lord. But try finishing it once, will you, please? Like, geez, how many more overtime games can they go here? That should be a good one. That's the first one. And the late game is interesting, too. So still plenty of college basketball here, guys, before we get to Thursday. And Trigg, is there a game you circled for us here you like a little more than the rest now?
There isn't. To answer Steve's question real quick, November 4th, 10:17 a.m.
There you go.
We got 12-1 on Houston. Yeah. Me and CT bets. So hopefully we can hit that one since our Marquette future went down in flames over the weekend. But it's okay. We're still alive, like I pointed out. 4%er tonight. College basketball going for 13 straight. As far as the show is concerned, my best bet for the show. I said I like both NIT totals. I really, you know, it's hard to kind of differentiate. But if you forced me to pick, I would say the under in the Oregon-Wisconsin game. Listen, Oregon, they're going to be without Richardson, Cousinard, and Dante again. They've been without them all tournament to this point and have played outstanding, but they're up against a much tougher defensive team here. Even though Wisconsin's not much higher in the metrics defensively than Central Florida and Irvine, they've played much tougher teams. So I'm willing to say that this Wisconsin team, 27th nationally in defensive efficiency, is a far better defensive team than what Oregon has faced to this point. So I think Oregon is going to struggle to score. With that being said, Wisconsin, all they've done all season is struggle to score. They don't move the ball well. They are outside the top 300 in field goal percentage, a horrible free throw shooting team. They don't rebound. They're outside the top 300 in that metric as well. The only thing offensively they really have going for them is the fact that they don't turn the ball over, which will make it tough for Oregon to get points the other way. But they don't turn the ball over because it's a lot of one person trying to dribble. You know, there's just not a lot going on in that offense. So Oregon actually plays a pretty slow tempo. If you look, they're only like 200, I believe, in adjusted tempo. So it should be a slower game, and it should slow down even more without Richardson and some of the others, you know, in the lineup. So I do think this is going to be a struggle. You're probably looking at a first to 60 wins type scenario here. So I like the under. And even with the move, I still think there's value in that staying under the total. I think we see a hard-fought game that likely does not get anywhere near 130, 131, or whatever it is. So I'll take the under Oregon-Wisconsin for my best bet for the show.
Boom. There we go. Under it is. And Tony Finn, yeah. A couple of intriguing spots here tonight on the card with these games. Is there one you like a little more than the rest?
Well, I'm going to go back to the first game we discussed today, and that's Okie State, the Cowpokes, and the Meanie Greenies, right? They're going to be in Stillwater. Big 12 was a monster in 2022-23. And the Cowboys, listen, they were one of the first four, as mentioned in the show already, to be out of the big dance. Are they motivated? Well, they won two games and won pretty impressively. But if you're looking for a fast-paced, high-flying contest to kickstart your college hoops weekend, this is not the game you want to watch. I mean, the Cowboys are going to square off against a visiting Green who executes the slowest tempo. We've talked about that, right? North Texas wins by 16, by 20. Nothing in Alcorn State and Sam Houston. And Oklahoma State had to go on the road for the first game they won. So it's a good matchup. It's really a good matchup, except for I just think that in a game that's going to be low possessions, slow tempo, and we're going to assume both these teams can play that way. They can. Problem is the Cowboys make too many mistakes. They don't value the possession of the basketball, and they cannot win the rebounding enough tonight to overcome and win by five if they even win. So let's go doggy dog, dog eat dogs, and let's go with the Mean Green tonight over the Cowboys, plus four on the road in Stillwater. Tough place to win.
Get them done. All right, there it is, North Texas for these guys here tonight. So, again, two of the